Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're diving into a case that really highlights how even seemingly small actions can have a huge impact on warranty claims.
Yeah.
It's a Prowsey v. Cruisers, a case out of Pennsylvania from 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think this should be interesting for anyone who's ever dealt with a warranty, which is pretty much everyone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What makes the Prowsey case so interesting is that it really shows how the actions of the parties, you know, the things they did, can actually sometimes override the written terms of a warranty.
Mm.
So it's kind of a good reminder that contract law, especially when we're talking about warranties, isn't always black and white.
So let's set the stage here.
Sure.
Who are the players in this story and what's the basic situation?
Okay. Well, the story begins back in 1995.
Okay.
We have Andrew Prowsey, who buys himself a brand new yacht.
Uh-huh.
He's excited, ready to hit the open water. But almost immediately, he starts having engine problems.
Oh, I bet that's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, you buy a brand new yacht, you expect things to work.
Right. So what does he do?
Well, he does what most of us would do. He contacts both the hull manufacturer, Cruisers, and the engine manufacturer, Crusader, to request repairs under the warranty.
Okay.
And this is where things start to get interesting.
Okay.
Cruisers, the hull manufacturer, actually goes ahead and provides parts and even covers some of the repair costs.
Oh, wow.
And they do all of this without requiring Prowsey to take the boat to an authorized dealer as their warranty technically requires.
Well, that seems pretty generous of them, right?
Mm.
Going above and beyond to help out a customer. But I have a feeling that might come back to bite them.
You are absolutely right. That seemingly helpful gesture becomes a key point of contention, the legal battle that unfolds.
Okay.
Because now the fact that they didn't strictly enforce that authorized dealer requirement raises questions about whether they waived that part of their warranty through their actions.
Okay, so we've got this potential waiver by conduct brewing. But before we dive into that, what happens with these engine problems? Do they ever get resolved, or is this an ongoing thing?
Well, unfortunately for Prowsey, the engine problems persist even after those initial repairs.
Oh, no.
And that's when Crusader, the engine manufacturer, steps in and says, hey, we want to inspect the engines to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a pretty reasonable request.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to diagnose the problem before you can fix it.
Exactly.
But I'm sensing some resistance from Mr. Prowsey.
Yes, you are picking up on the tension here. Prowsey actually refuses to allow Crusader to inspect the engines.
Mm.
And, you know, this seemingly small decision to deny access, it becomes a pivotal point in the case.
Okay, so we've got these seemingly small actions. Cruiser's not enforcing that dealer requirement and Prowsey refusing the inspection.
Right.
These are setting the stage for a bigger legal showdown. What happens next? Does Prowsey just give up, or does he take this further?
Well, Prowsey's not one to back down. Feeling like he's hit a wall, he decides to sue both Cruisers and Crusader, claiming they breached their warranty obligations.
Okay.
And he doesn't hold back.
Mm-hmm.
He throws the book at them. His lawsuit cites violations of the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, the Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC, and Pennsylvania Consumer Protection Laws.
Wow, that's a lot.
Mm.
Before we get into the legal specifics, what were the main issues that the court had to grapple with in this case?
Yeah, so there were a few key questions that were raised. First, there was the matter of the statute of limitations. You know, did Prowsey discover these engine defects within the time frame allowed for filing a claim?
Okay.
Second, there's the big one. Did his refusal to allow Crusader to inspect those engines completely doom his case?
Right.
And then finally, did Cruiser's actions, those early repairs, without requiring the authorized dealer, did that actually override the written terms of their warranty?
Mm.
And this is where that idea of waiver by conduct really comes into play.
Okay, so we've got a ticking clock, a denied inspection, and a potentially rewritten warranty.
Right.
This is getting good. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this waiver by conduct, can we talk about the Magnuson-Moss Act for a second? For those of our listeners who might not be legal experts, what is that act and why is it relevant here?
Sure. The Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act is a federal law.
Okay.
And it's designed to protect consumers when they purchase products that come with warranties.
Mm-hmm.
It sets out requirements for how warranties have to be written and disclosed. And it also gives consumers certain rights when those warranties aren't honored.
So it's basically a safety net for consumers to make sure they aren't taken advantage of when it comes to warranties.
Yeah, you could say that. And in Prowsey's case, it becomes crucial because it provides a potential avenue for relief, even if some of his claims under the UCC might be limited.
Okay. I'm already starting to see how this case is about more than just this faulty yacht engine. It's really a deep dive into the intricacies of warranty law and consumer rights. So before we get into all the legal complexities, let's go back to that waiver by conduct issue for a minute. What does that actually mean in this case?
Waiver by conduct essentially means that even if a contract like a warranty, you know, clearly states certain terms and conditions, a party's actions can sometimes contradict or override those terms.
Mm.
If those actions lead the other party to reasonably believe those terms have been waived, then it can have significant legal consequences.
So in Press's situation, the argument is that cruisers, by choosing to provide those initial repairs directly without enforcing the authorized dealer requirement, might have actually waived that part of their warranty.
That's exactly right. Their actions might have led Prezi to believe that he didn't need to strictly adhere to that authorized dealer requirement, especially if those early interactions were, you know, positive and problem-free.
This is where it gets really interesting. How did the court approach this whole waiver by conduct argument? Did they side with Prezi or with cruisers?
Well, the court didn't give a simple yes or no answer. They basically said, look, there's a genuine issue of fact regarding this waiver.
Right.
Meaning, you know, there's enough evidence on both sides to justify a full trial.
Okay.
So it wasn't a clear-cut case of waiver, but it wasn't completely dismissed either. Cruiser's actions definitely created enough ambiguity to keep that part of Prowlsey's lawsuit alive.
Okay, so it seems like the court is looking not just at what's written in the contract, but also at how the parties actually behaved.
Right, exactly.
Context matters. But we mentioned earlier that there were other legal issues at play here. Can you talk about Prowlsey's claims under the UCC? What are implied warranties and how did those factor into this case?
Okay, so implied warranties are essentially unwritten promises that are automatically included in a sale unless they're specifically excluded. The UCC, which governs commercial transactions in the U.S., lays out two key implied warranties. The warranty of merchantability, which means the product is fit for its ordinary purpose, and the warranty of fitness for a particular purpose, which means the product is suitable for the buyer's specific needs.
So even if a contract doesn't explicitly state these warranties, they're still there to protect the buyer.
Right. Unless the seller says otherwise.
Unless the seller says otherwise.
Right. But here's the catch in Prowlsey's case. Cruiser's warranty very explicitly excluded any implied warranties.
Huh.
And they didn't just casually mention it, they made it very clear by stating it in big, bold, all caps letters.
So they were really covering their bases.
Yeah, they dotted their I's and crossed their T's when it came to excluding those implied warranties.
So even though the UCC usually provides those basic protections for buyers, Cruiser's managed to sidestep those.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean Prowlsey's out of luck. His claims under the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act and Pennsylvania's consumer protection laws were allowed to proceed because Pennsylvania law offered some additional consumer protections that cruisers couldn't just exclude with a broad disclaimer.
Gotcha. So things are swinging back in Prowlsey's favor, it sounds like. Mm. Even though his UCC claims are out, he still might have a chance for some relief based on these other laws. But, you know, we still haven't talked about what I think is the most interesting part of this case, Prowlsey's refusal to let Crusader inspect the engines. How did the court handle that?
Yeah, this is where things take a bit of a turn, and it's a really important lesson for anyone who is dealing with warranty issues. The court came down pretty hard on Prowlsey for refusing that inspection.
Mm-hmm.
They cited legal precedent, which basically means they said, look, buyers have to allow reasonable attempts to repair or inspect a product under warranty.
So even though Prowse had already experienced problems with those repairs and, you know, probably felt like he was getting the runaround, he still had a legal obligation to allow that inspection.
That's right. And the court's reasoning was that by denying access, Prowse prevented Crusader from fulfilling their obligation under the warranty to at least try and fix the problem.
So even if you feel like you've been given the runaround, you can't just shut down communication and further attempts at repair.
That seems to be the takeaway here. The court basically said that denying access to inspection, you know, without a really good reason, can be a fatal flaw in a warranty claim.
So even though cruisers might have waived part of their warranty through their actions, Prowlsey's refusal to allow that inspection might have sunk his whole case.
Yeah. It's a classic example of how one seemingly small action can have a huge impact on the outcome of a legal dispute.
What if Prowlsey had just allowed the inspection, even though he was frustrated, even though he felt like they had messed it up before? What if he just gave Crusader a chance? Could the outcome of this whole case have been different? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's impossible to say for sure, but it definitely raises some interesting possibilities.
You know, if Prousey had allowed the inspection and Crusader had found a clear defect that they could fix, his case might have gone in a completely different direction.
Well, that is a lot to think about. And I think we've covered a lot of ground here in this first part of our deep dive. We will pick this back up, this interesting discussion, in part two.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Prousey v. Cruisers. You know, when we left off, we were really pondering that question of whether things might have gone differently for Andrew Prousey if he had just let Crusader take a look at those engines.
Yeah, it really is a fascinating what if, right?
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, you know, he had every reason to be frustrated with the whole situation. The engine problems weren't going away, and he probably felt like he was getting the runaround from the manufacturers.
But on the other hand, like we discussed earlier, you know, the court really hammered home that point about cooperation in these warranty situations. By not letting Crusader inspect the engines, he might have unintentionally weakened his legal position, even if he had legitimate reasons for feeling, you know, distrustful of the whole process.
It's a tough spot for consumers to be in, right? Like, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Mm.
Trying to assert your rights, but also having to navigate all the complexities of the warranty process.
And that's where, you know, really understanding your rights and obligations under a warranty becomes super important.
Right, right. And we talked about the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act and how that plays a big role in protecting consumers. Can you remind us how that act specifically impacted Prousey's case?
Sure. So one of the key things about the Magnuson-Moss Act is that it gives consumers the right to take legal action in state court for breach of warranty.
Okay.
Even if the warranty itself tries to limit those rights.
Hmm.
That's important because it means consumers aren't just stuck with whatever the manufacturer dictates in that warranty document.
So in this case, even though Cruisers tried to exclude those implied warranties, the Magnuson-Moss Act basically opened the door for Prousey to pursue claims based on Pennsylvania's consumer protection laws.
Exactly. The court basically said, look, Pennsylvania law offers some consumer protections that go above and beyond what's covered by the UCC's implied warranties.
Okay.
And Cruisers can't just sidestep those state laws with a disclaimer in their warranty.
So it's a good example of how that federal law, the Magnuson-Moss Act,
mm-hmm.
can work with state laws to give consumers stronger protection.
Absolutely. And it's a crucial point for anyone listening. Your rights as a consumer aren't only spelled out in that little booklet that comes with a product.
Right.
You also need to be aware of any extra protections you might have under your own state's laws.
That's a good point. Speaking of state law, Prousey's case also involved claims under Pennsylvania's consumer protection laws, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about those laws and how they applied here?
Sure. So Pennsylvania, like a lot of states, has its own set of consumer protection laws.
Okay.
They're designed to prevent unfair or deceptive business practices.
Hmm.
And these laws often go further than the basic protections offered by the UCC. They give consumers more options when a manufacturer or seller acts in bad faith or doesn't fulfill their obligations.
So in Prousey's case, the Pennsylvania laws essentially gave him another legal avenue on top of the UCC and the Magnuson-Moss Act.
Yeah, you could say that. And that's why it was a big deal that the court allowed his claims under those state laws to move forward.
Hmm.
It really shows that warranty law isn't just a federal issue.
Right.
It's often a mix of federal and state laws, and understanding those nuances can be super important for consumers who are trying to enforce their rights.
This is all really helpful, but before we move on, I want to touch on another legal concept that came up in this case, anticipatory repudiation. It was mentioned in the court's decision, but we haven't really dug into what it means.
You're right. We should definitely talk about that. So anticipatory repudiation basically means that one party in a contract clearly indicates through words or actions that they're not going to do what they promised under the contract, and they do this before they're actually required to perform.
So, like, if a manufacturer just flat out refuses to honor a warranty, even though the warranty period is still in effect, that would be considered anticipatory repudiation.
Exactly. And in Prousey's case, the court allowed him to go after a claim based on this idea because Cruisers allegedly refused to do any more repairs once Prousey owed money to the dealer.
Correct.
It's like they were saying, we're not honoring this warranty anymore because you owe money to someone else,
mm-hmm.
even though their obligation to repair was a separate issue from that financial dispute.
Wow. That adds another layer of complexity to this case.
Mm.
So not only did Cruisers potentially waive part of their warranty through their actions, but they might have also anticipatorily repudiated the entire warranty by refusing to do more repairs because of a separate debt that Prousey owed.
That's right. It shows how multi-layered warranty law can be. and how courts will consider a whole range of legal principles when they're deciding whether a manufacturer actually lived up to their end of the deal. But, you know, let's circle back to that waiver by conduct idea for a sec. I know we touched on it, but I think it's worth diving a little deeper into how the court actually analyzed this issue.
I agree. It's a really important concept for our listeners to grasp.
Right.
Because it shows that sometimes actions speak louder than words, even in legal disputes.
Exactly.
So how did the court determine whether Cruiser's actions actually constituted a waiver of that authorized dealer requirement that was in their warranty?
Well, the court used a three-part test to figure that out.
Okay.
First, they looked at whether Cruiser's actions were inconsistent with what was clearly written in their warranty.
Mm.
You know, the warranty specifically said that all repairs had to go through an authorized dealer.
Right. And we know that Cruiser's deviated from that at the beginning by doing those repairs themselves.
Exactly. So the first question is, did those actions contradict the written terms of the warranty? And in Prowse's case, the answer seems to be yes.
Okay. Inconsistency. Check. What was the second part of the test?
The second part is all about whether a reasonable buyer, you know, in this case, Prowse, would have thought, based on Cruiser's actions, that the dealer requirement was gone.
Okay.
Would it be reasonable for him to assume, after they were willing to do those initial repairs directly, that he didn't have to go through a dealer anymore?
Seems like that's a more subjective question. It depends on how a regular person would see the situation.
Right. It's about perceptions and expectations. The court has to decide whether Cruiser's actions created a reasonable belief that the dealer requirement was no longer a thing.
Okay. So we've got inconsistency and reasonable belief. What was the last part of the test?
The third and final question is whether Prowse was actually harmed by relying on Cruiser's actions. Did he change his behavior or make decisions based on thinking he didn't need to use an authorized dealer? And did that reliance ultimately hurt him in some way?
So it's not just about whether the company messed up or went against their contract, but whether that mistake actually caused some kind of harm to the buyer.
You got it. It's not enough for the court to just say, well, Cruiser's made a mistake, so they automatically lose.
Mm-hmm.
They have to look at the bigger picture and see if Prowse suffered any real consequences because of relying on Cruiser's actions.
This whole waiver by conduct concept is really interesting. It highlights how important it is to look beyond just what's written in the contract and consider how the parties actually interacted with each other.
Absolutely.
I think a key takeaway for our listeners is that their actions matter.
For sure.
And the manufacturer's actions matter too.
Yeah.
And documenting everything can be super important in situations like this.
Oh, absolutely. Detailed records of all those communications, repairs, any time they didn't follow the warranty terms.
Yeah.
That can be incredibly valuable if there's a dispute later on.
Right.
It helps lay out a clear timeline and shows how everyone understood and acted on the terms of the warranty.
So even little things like emails and phone calls and invoices could become important pieces of evidence down the road.
You're absolutely right. A solid paper trail can be your best friend in a warranty dispute. But beyond documentation, I think there's another important lesson here about communication. We talked about how Prowse refusing to let Crusader inspect those engines might have hurt his case in the end.
Right. Even though his frustration was understandable, shutting down communication can sometimes make things worse in legal battles.
Exactly. It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
You want to stand up for your rights, but keeping those lines of communication open with the manufacturer can often lead to better results.
So finding that sweet spot between asserting your rights and having a constructive dialogue is key.
Couldn't agree more. And you know, if you ever hit a wall or feel like you're getting pushback from the manufacturer, don't be afraid to get some legal advice. An attorney who specializes in warranty law can help you through the process, make sure your interests are protected, and help you take the right steps to resolve the issue.
That makes sense. Sometimes having an expert on your side can be a game changer, especially in tricky legal situations.
It's like having an experienced guide to help you navigate through all the complexities.
Well, we've definitely covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. Prowse v. Cruisers might seem like a simple case about a yacht engine, but it's given us a lot of insights into the world of warranty law and consumer rights.
It shows that even transactions that seem straightforward can have complicated legal aspects.
Yeah.
And being informed and proactive is the best way to protect yourself.
Well, we'll have to wrap up part two of our deep dive here, but don't worry. We'll be back with part three, where we'll discuss some key takeaways from this case and give our listeners some practical tips on how to handle their own warranty issues. See you soon. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive into Prowse v. Cruisers. You know, we've talked about a lot, like warranty law, waiver by conduct, anticipatory repudiation, and even how those federal and state consumer protection laws all kind of play together.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
It has.
Through the legal ins and outs of warranties.
And while we didn't really get a clear answer about what ultimately happened with Prusy's case, I think there's still a lot we can take away from it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this case is a good reminder for anyone dealing with warranty problems. Like, it highlights how important it is to really understand your rights, be proactive, and keep good records every step of the way.
Right. So, beyond those general points, what are some specific takeaways or practical tips that our listeners can use based on what we've learned from this case?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is to really, like, carefully read and understand that warranty document itself. You know, pay attention to any parts that limit or exclude certain types of warranties, like those implied warranties we talked about before.
Right, because we saw how Cruisers very clearly said they weren't covering those implied warranties, which kind of limited what Prusy could do under the UCC.
Exactly. So knowing what you're getting into right from the start is really important.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask questions if something's not clear. You can always reach out to the manufacturer or even talk to a lawyer just to make sure you fully understand the warranty before you buy something.
Absolutely. And, you know, beyond reading that fine print, there are some other proactive things consumers can do to protect themselves.
Like what?
Well, we talked about documentation, right? Like, keep good records of everything, the purchase date, any conversations with the manufacturer or seller, every time you try to get it fixed. Invoices, receipts, like, keep it all.
Mm.
Because if a dispute comes up later, having all those records can really make a difference.
It's like you're building your case from the very beginning, even if you hope you never have to use it.
That's a great way to put it. It's always better to be prepared. And, you know, speaking of being prepared, it's also a good idea to learn a little bit about your state's consumer protection laws.
Yeah.
Like we saw with Prusy, those state laws can give you some extra protection that goes beyond what federal law covers.
So it's worth doing a little research to see what specific rights you have as a consumer in your state, just in case you run into a warranty issue.
Exactly. Now, on top of documentation and knowing your rights, I think there's another really important lesson from Prusy v. Cruisers.
Okay.
And that's about communication. We saw how Prusy's decision to not let Crusader look at the engines might have hurt his case.
Right. Even though he was probably frustrated, not talking to them can sometimes backfire in legal situations.
You're absolutely right. So, you know, you have to find a balance. You want to stand up for your rights, but keeping those lines of communication open with the manufacturer can often help you get a better outcome.
So it's all about finding that middle ground between asserting your rights and working things out.
Exactly. And, you know, if you hit a wall or the manufacturer just won't budge, don't hesitate to get a lawyer involved.
Mm.
A lawyer who knows about warranty law can walk you through the whole process, make sure your rights are protected, and help you figure out the best way to get things resolved.
That's good advice. Sometimes having an expert in your corner can make a big difference in those complicated legal situations.
Like having someone to guide you through all the twists and turns.
Exactly. Well, I think we've really explored this case in depth. Prusy v. Cruisers might seem like a straightforward case about a yacht engine on the surface, but it's really shown us how complicated warranty law and consumer rights can be.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even those simple-looking deals can have really complex legal consequences.
Right.
And being informed and proactive is really the best way to protect yourself.
I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We hope you found this discussion helpful and insightful. Until next time, remember, knowledge is power, especially when you're dealing with legal matters.